This week on the show, Jim Murray from 98.5 The Sports Hub shares his thoughts on the Patriots' busy weekend. We talk about March Madness, something we've never seen before, and what's going on in the NBA's Eastern Conference. All that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. Welcome to the show. Alex Barth, Alex Leibowitz with you, the Calling It podcast. Busy weekend, March Madness, Tiger, but the Patriots making some moves too.
Yeah, they did. They made a couple good moves after a quiet start to the offseason, so it's a lot to discuss, that's for sure.
Walked us back off the edge of the cliff, for sure, a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
We are now joined on the phone by Big Jim Murray from 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim, how you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
So I got to ask you, before we talk about the trades that happened over the weekend, I got to ask you about a trade from a couple years ago, the original Patriots Cordero Patterson trade when they traded out of the 29th pick in 2013. You were pretty critical of that trade back then. You were pretty critical of it last night. Given that it netted them Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan, and LeGarrette Blount, isn't that one you kind of look back at and think Bill was right?
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I got that one wrong. I'll gladly wear the egg on my face on that one. I was living in Atlanta. I was more in deep in college football than I normally had been in the past, so I had paid a little bit more attention to the SEC. And Patterson was a beast at Tennessee, and the time came for them to draft. I was tired of the, all right, let's move out of this so we can get more value picks in the second and third round. And I just kind of lost my mind about it because I thought at the time Patterson at, what was it, 28, 29, whatever it was, would have been a perfect fit for the team.
And you like this trade. And with this deal, Matthew Slater's out the door most likely. But you're not all that in on these special team guys. Overall, not just with this trade, but what do you think about this last weekend in moves made for the Patriots, specifically with that defensive line and bulking up the interior line?
I like the Adrian Claiborne move. I mean, is he going to be a stud pass rusher and get close to double-digit sacks like he did last year with Atlanta? Probably not. I think it's a little bit skewed that he had 9.5 last year because 6 came against a decimated Cowboys team that didn't have their starting left tackle that game. So, look, it's a good depth move. It'll move guys around. It'll, I think, open up opportunities for guys like Trey Flowers. So, in that sense, I like it. I like the Shelton trade based on what I've been told from guys that, pay a lot more attention to D-line play than I normally ever would. Like Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, he assures me, in terms of the running game, he always has to be double-teamed. I see that. I would like to think that opens up opportunities for guys like Malcolm Brown to maybe pass, be a little bit more of a pass rusher like he was when he was in Texas. So I like what they've done defensively. The Jeremy Lane, the Jeremy Hill move, not big on it. I think he's kind of a stiff. I know he's a bigger back. He can help them in terms of short yardage in the red zone from everything that I've been told. But I think all I remember from that guy is fumbling at the worst possible moment when he was with the Bengals in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And he's got a bit of a bad track record, so I'm not that hot on that move.
Elsewhere on the defense, again, we're talking to Jim Murray from 98.5 The Sports Hub. In the secondary, they go out, they trade for Jason McCourty. Are they set in the secondary? Is he a number two corner on a Super Bowl defense, or do they need to go, whether it's through the draft or trade, do they need to go get another true corner opposite Stephon Gilmore?
No, I think they're good now. McCourty was healthy and had a decent season statistically last year. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to say that I watched every Browns game. I do watch a lot of bad football, but, he had a better year than he did in his last year in Tennessee where he was dealing with some injuries and stuff. And I also wonder, a caller brought this up last week, and I heard Bertrand talking about it today. I think there might be something to it. I think we can all agree at this point there's bad stuff going on behind the scenes with that team, or at least, there's a clash of egos, and maybe Bill has lost the team considering, we still have no explanation as to why he benched Butler in the Super Bowl. So it seemed like Devin McCourty was one of those guys that might have been off the reservation a little bit over the last month or so, who's a little bit more outspoken than he normally is. So maybe there's something to the fact that, okay, Jason McCourty not only is a little bit more of a solid two-corner ahead of someone like Eric Rowe or Jonathan Jones, but it also is a move that helps appease Devin a little bit, gets his brother in the fold, and now, he's back he's back on the reservation and not maybe questioning Bill's decisions as much, you know?
Are you saying that that was the motive or part of the motive for bringing in McCourty, or is that just, you know, an added result of bringing in a guy who's, you know, a brother or someone who, as you say, is off the reservation?
No, overall, I think it's because it's, you know, it adds depth to the secondary. I think he's more of an upgrade than Eric Rowe as your second cornerback. And, you know, I think if I had to say a percentage, it's maybe like, you know, it's just someone's theory. I like these kind of juicy theories because there's so many questions surrounding this team behind the scenes. If I had to say a percentage, I'd say like, I don't know, 7 or 8%. The rest of it has to do with football, and he's an upgrade over Rowe.
So let me ask you this then. Could you double down on that and maybe say Slater taking a visit with the Steelers is a symptom of locker room issues given what he's meant to the team in his time here?
I mean, I want to, but he's also dealt with injuries the last couple of seasons. He's in his 30s. I know that's a guy that I think is the consummate patriot, you know, under Belichick and the way that he runs that operation. But if he gets a big payday and someone's willing to give him money that the Patriots, you know, they have a value chart on all of these guys. You hear it time and again from those that cover the team. And if he is making more, if he's offered more than they're willing to give, at his age range and with his durability issues at this point, if he moves on, I think it's mostly that. I don't think it has to do with anything like, screw this, I'm out, because everything behind the scenes sucks.
What's next for the Patriots? We've seen them add some depth to their secondary. We've seen them add some depth to their defensive line. Is it the linebacking core next, or do you think they're going to go through the draft to improve that?
In terms of free agency, you mean?
Yeah, free agency.
Unless anyone breaks free here or there's a cut between now and the draft of a name that's like, you know, that kind of pops, I think they're done. Or they're going to maybe make a move that's not going to be sexy, and it's something to, you know, add depth at that position or add depth on the offensive line or in special teams. But I don't think they're going to make any other big splash to bring in anybody. I mean, they have to address that issue. The linebackers stink outside of Dante Hightower. So, I don't know. I have to think they're going to address that with some of those draft picks.
On the offensive side of the ball, they add, you talked about Jeremy Hill, who may or may not make the team. They add Cordarrelle Patterson, who's mainly a special teamer, after losing Nate Solder, Deion Lewis, and Danny Amendola, maybe three of Brady's favorite guys on that roster. Are you surprised they haven't done more, especially given the way the last season ended, to kind of appease Brady and help Brady out, given the way free agency started?
Yeah, the Solder one's the one that bugs me. The Amendola one at the time was a little bit of a surprise. Once I saw the money in the 8.25 guaranteed up front and those last three discounted deals he just got didn't even equal that, okay, you know, again, it's the value chart. Were the Pats going to give him that? No. So I can live with that, even though it's a tough pill to swallow for as nails as he was the last couple of postseasons. Lewis, I had already moved on from. Great year. I think you got him at his best last year. But durability issues and, you know, it's a deep running back draft. They can figure something out there. Solder, you have a 41-year-old quarterback who's slow, who really, you know, I know his pocket presence has been better and he can move around a little bit better. But just in terms of my sheer nervousness that I have always when I watch, you know, that team more than any other left goal. But he's better than anything else that they have right now or I think that they can get in the draft. I just think that's stupid. I know the money was crazy, but they should have paid it.
Is there anybody in the draft or left in free agency that you trust to protect Tom Brady?
I mean, maybe Jason Peters. I don't think he's broke free from the Eagles yet, but there's been rumors about that. But he's coming off a big injury from last year. Maybe him. Other than that, no. And definitely not in the draft. Not the way the college football is now. These guys are mostly, they don't have their hands in the ground throw college football as much anymore. Like, I don't, it takes, and again, people that know far more about this than I do will tell you, like, offensive linemen are much more difficult to groom nowadays because of the way that college football is run on the spread offense throughout, like, than it has been in the past. I know Solder's not the best left tackle. He's a bit above average. He's good, not great, but they should have paid him that money.
And we're talking to Jim Murray of 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim, before we let you go, we mentioned it. Amendola's gone. Deion Lewis is gone. Nate Solder is gone. A lot of guys from that offense in general are gone. Gronkowski, that's the last guy left where there's some conflict with. How do you see this ending, and do you think there'll be a restructure? And how likely is the possibility of him retiring?
I think it's pretty good. Again, people that know this stuff a lot more than I do and follow the team and cover the team, the guys like Bert Breer of MMQB, he said it's 50-50. I think the WWE is a real possibility. And the guy, like, you know, from someone who grew up in a union family, I appreciate the fact that he actually has a legitimate option that he can tell the team to say, hey, screw, I'm done. I have another business I can go to and make close to the same money and not kill myself week to week during the football season. All I got to do is maybe have a few matches, and so screw. If you want me back, rip up that contract, pay me close to what some of the best wide receivers in the NFL are making. Otherwise, I'm out. I got an option. And most of these guys, especially in that league, don't have that legit other job opportunity. You know, someone can bounce out early and maybe go back to school or become a broadcaster, but I don't know. Are you going to be making the same money as you could as an athlete? No. Gronk has that opportunity with the WWE, so I think that that's real. I hope he's back in the fold. I hope they can figure it out, because without him, I think they're screwed.
He is Jim Murray from 98.5 The Sports Hub, Felger and Maz and Gasper. And Murray, you can follow him on Twitter at Big Jim Murray. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Alex Barth, Alex Lebowitz, you know what it is, the Calling It podcast. Once again, it's just a regular occurrence at this point. We're coming up on year 1 year with the show. We're getting there.
Yeah.
And you got a big career announcement on top of that to make later, but we'll save that for the end of the show.
We'll save it.
Maybe a bigger upset than one of the two of us doing something positive for our careers. happened over the weekend, March Madness, UMBC. Represent the America East over Virginia. How's your bracket? Let's start big picture. How's your bracket?
Not good. I don't think anyone's as good, right?
Aaron Torres didn't help us much.
No, he didn't. He said Arizona would be a sleeper. They're screwed.
He said he was always right. I had Arizona as my champion, so.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's over. I don't know. I never put much stock into it. By the Sweet 16, I'm usually out of it. Most people are usually out of it. And I didn't even do it for money this year. I just did it randomly. Because I couldn't find...
Nobody does it for money. Whatever could you be talking about?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I don't want to ruin my NCAA eligibility.
I mean, no, but like you can't put money on NCAA athletics. It ruins the purity of the amateurism.
You would think so. In Las Vegas,
let's be careful. Well, nobody's gambling in Vegas. Not when the pureness of college sports is at stake.
There's not billions of dollars being exchanged.
No,
you know,
when
these 18 to 23 year olds are making nothing.
You wouldn't do that to those kids. Nobody would do that to those kids.
No, they have a heart. They have, you know, they have morals. That's the biggest thing. They have morals.
Okay, sarcasm aside, how great was it to finally see the 16 over 1?
Oh, it was amazing. And I think the best part of it, there's a couple good parts. One, the team mascot for University of Maryland Baltimore County is a Golden Retriever, which is hilarious. A Cavalier got beat by a Golden Retriever, or Retrievers, whatever you want to call them. And two, they're in the same conference as UMass Lowell.
Yep.
And UMass Lowell is...
They will play UMass Lowell in lacrosse next Saturday, 1 o'clock on America... 4 o'clock, pardon me, on America East TV. You can catch me on the call. Hashtag shameless plug. Keep going.
I like it. But it proves, because UMass Lowell basketball is not very good at all.
They're growing,
but they're a recent D1 team. They might have been back in the day, but they resurrected the program.
They were
a
good D2 school, and then obviously making the jump to D1, they've had some obstacles to overcome.
Yeah,
but they're getting there. They've had some good play. Jahad Thomas, who I believe graduated this season, he's an outstanding player.
Yeah.
He'll probably go have a very successful career overseas, maybe play in the G League. Like, they had some talent, but you got to catch up to these schools that have been D1 for years and years.
And it is a D1 program. They had talent. But back to the point.
Right, I didn't think we were having a UMass Lowell basketball discussion.
We should have that.
Wait, one thing, because you talked about their mascot being the Retrievers. Every school but one in the America East, their mascot is either a dog or a cat.
The Riverhawks.
Or a hawk. Okay, a dog, a cat. The entire conference except for one is a dog, a cat, or a hawk.
Vermont's the Wild.
Catamounts.
Catamounts.
Which is a cat.
Okay. I didn't know
the New Hampshire Wildcats.
Of course.
The UMBC Retrievers. The UMass Lowell Riverhawks. The Hartford Hawks. the Stony Brook Seawolves, and then the Maine Black Bears. So there's a bear thrown in there. But everybody else, I think I missed a school, but you got a bunch of it's cats, dogs, and hawks.
That's there you go. It's the very it's not a very intimidating conference at all.
I don't know. I
for mascot wise?
I mean a seawolf.
A seawolf?
That is a wolf that has nautical abilities.
It's like a mermaid
scary.
Dog. What's that?
Imagine being in the water and you have to worry about sharks and wolves. That doesn't scare you?
I'd stay out of the water if I had to worry about both of those things.
Sometimes that's not an option.
That's true.
Okay. The conversation I wanted to have is this, if we can ever get to it.
Yes.
You see the 16 over the line. It was a blowout. I wish it was more climactic. Yeah, they flipped the spread.
Yeah.
Is that, and it, the cool thing about it is that there's so few things left in sports that have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's one less. You think about truly how many things have never happened in sports. Was that the greatest upset in sports, in team sports history?
I don't think so, because Virginia was dealing with a lot of injuries. I just think that like their morale was just so low in that game, just based off of all of the obstacles that they had to get around. I think there's other upsets you could look at and put it above that. No, I mean, regardless, it's incredible to see a 16
right.
seed
no,
beat
it's,
a 1
it's,
seed.
It's in the conversation.
I never thought we'd see it.
I
like 15
I didn't
over 2, reasonable. 16 over 1, that's a top 4 team in the country against a team that barely, as you mentioned it before we started recording, barely won their conference in arguably, as you mentioned before as well, one of the worst conferences in college basketball.
Statistically, just because I work for the conference, statistically they were not as highly ranked this year as others. I just want to get that out there.
Okay.
Nothing against
it's
the
my
American
point
East.
Then, not yours.
Your point, yeah.
Yeah, just to save you. So it's extremely impressive. I don't think it's the greatest upset of all time, though.
So I don't think it is either, but it's got, I mean, talking to people after the game, we were really just going back and forth between that and the 1980 Olympics. When you look at, you know, Division I, ACC, big time, big money, large school, Virginia, right? Major football program as well, all of it. And then UMBC, which is, and they admitted on Twitter, and their Twitter account was great, by the way. Shout out to Zach Seidel. A commuter school. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's two different leagues. That's two, you're playing two different games. It's like the U.S. and Russia. You had a bunch of guys who'd been playing professionally for 10 years, were fully developed in a rigorous training program, had been playing together. And on the other side, you had a bunch of college kids who were going out drinking on the weekend, right? I was trying to think of another upset where it was really like two different levels. Maybe Appalachian State over Michigan.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
But I think this is bigger than that. I think it is the biggest upset in college sports history. I think it would be hard to, given the stage and everything, I think it would be hard to find a bigger upset than that.
I think given the stage, I'd agree with you. There's probably BC beat the number one ranked Syracuse Orange 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
And that was like they had a 99.9% chance of losing that game. They ended up winning. That was a regular season game, though, so the stakes were
lower.
It's
BC and Syracuse. It's in conference. So the schools are on somewhat of a level playing field when it comes to recruiting,
yeah,
when it comes to training and all of that. I'm going to guess that the gym at Virginia and the gym at UMBC, the weight room, look a little different.
Slightly different, yeah. So I think it's definitely up there. I think you can put it in the top five biggest upsets of all time, especially given the margin of victory. But I think, oddly enough, that kind of takes away from it. Because it's like it wasn't even close. Maybe they were just better all along. I don't know. But I think it's definitely up there. It's in the conversation. Not number one for me, though. Not number one.
I put it at two. I put it behind the Miracle on Ice. Maybe it's just the recency effect. Maybe it will fade. But the next big one and the last big one for March Madness is the perfect bracket.
Yeah,
when that happens,
that's never happening.
Because, look, March Madness is big. They got dwarfed by Tiger this weekend, though.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they did.
That was a lot more entertaining until he faltered down the end, which I think these have all been test rounds for him. I just think he's trying to see how hard he can hit the ball. He's just fine-tuning for the Masters. He's not trying to win right now.
And he's coming damn near close. Was he fifth place, sixth place?
I can't. All right, but we're going to get into a whole Tiger thing, and we got to get on to the next segment. So Look, the perfect bracket is kind of the final frontier. I've always thought, as great as the March Madness tournament is, it's a little overrated. I don't think it's the greatest spectacle in sports, like some call it. Mm-hmm. And I think 16 over 1 kind of takes away from some of that because now we've seen it. And now it's just the perfect bracket. Once they get the perfect bracket, it's all been done with March Madness.
Next, we need to see a 16 seed win it all.
That's not going to happen. You'll see a perfect bracket first.
Maybe. Yeah, you probably won't see out there. That's the reality.
All right, from college basketball to pro basketball, sometimes the NBA takes a back seat this time of year. And boy, does one Eastern Conference contender really wish that they were in the back seat right now. We'll talk about that on the other side. This is Callin' It, powered by CLNS.
Callin' It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Callin' It. Let's talk some more basketball, Alex Lebowitz. Some professional basketball. The dog days of the NBA season are almost over. We are less than a month, I believe, from the playoffs. Yeah. Yes,
the
March
weather,
19th.
The weather does not indicate that, but we are.
There's two more storms this week, by the way. You jerk.
I don't think tomorrow's...
You clown.
I don't think Tuesday...
We're out of the woods.
I don't think Tuesday is going to be that bad.
No, one to 3 inches on Wednesday, okay. And 1 to 3 inches on Sunday.
Okay, that's peanuts.
What did you do to us?
I'm sorry.
I'm never going to get the golf because
I'm
going to
start using the reverse jinx.
You reverse jinx last week.
Guess what?
There's been three storms since.
The Patriots are not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Just stop. Predicting, jinx predicting, whatever. Stop it.
I'm done. I'm officially, this is a big announcement. We have another announcement at the end of the show. This is a bigger announcement. I'm retiring from predictions in general.
Okay, prediction. One of two. Speaking of ice cold.
Okay.
The Celtics got blown out by the DeMarcus Cousins-less Pelicans last night, Sunday night. I don't want to say they've struggled. They struggled to put a team on the floor. They've done okay in winning games. Okay, not what they were doing at the beginning of the year. But they've struggled to put a team on the floor. Marcus Smart is now hurt again. He's out, seems like, at least the rest of the regular season. Kyrie Irving is dealing with a knee injury. Obviously, we know about Gordon Hayward. Who else? I know I'm missing a couple more, too. Horford's been dealing with an illness.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, Horford.
Right, Jaylen Brown's still dealing with the concussion.
Yep.
Everybody's banged up. So, but the magic number for the two seed is low. As of Monday, I believe it's around 5. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's around 5 for the two seed.
Does it really matter?
Well, you want to be a top two. You want to be a top two because you probably avoid Cleveland in the first round if you do.
That's true.
Or at least get home court against. And they have a good padding. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But... at what point do you start shutting people down? And that leads to your hot take of the day.
Yeah, I mentioned this before we got on air. Kyrie Irving's been dealing with a knee injury since last year. He threatened...
Really, since college. I mean, since it's college. Kind of been his whole career.
But this offseason, it got to the point where he gave the Cavaliers an ultimatum, pretty much. Trade me or I'm getting season-ending surgery. You don't just... It's not like there's an overbearing... parent of a 12-year-old pitcher, aspiring pitcher, who's giving his kid Tommy John surgery in hopes that it strengthens his elbow. This is someone, if you need Tommy John surgery, you get it. You're not just going to get it.
Right.
So he had the possibility there. There's clearly still an injury lingering.
And I think Stevens even said at some point soon he's going to need major knee surgery.
What are we waiting for? That's my question. You're not going to win the title this year. Even if you make it to the finals, you're not being the Warriors.
Oh, so when you say shut Kyrie Irving down for the season,
I'm saying
you don't just mean the regular season.
I'm saying you shut him down. You potentially give him surgery that he needs. Marcus Smart is injured. He's not going to be back. Gordon Hayward, by all accounts, is not going to be back. Al Horford can't be the next guy. He's clearly shown that in the past 2 months. So what are you waiting for? You want to have a fully healthy roster next season? Let's get ahead on it. Let's start now with planning to win a championship for 2019 if you were the Celtics.
So I want to get this right. I want to hear you say it. Kyrie Irving should have surgery soon, be out for the rest of the regular season, and be out for the playoffs and possibly out for the beginning of next season.
He should have surgery tomorrow. Not next season. It depends on the timetable. If he can be back by January of next season, you get that surgery tomorrow. If he can be back by February of next season, I get the surgery tomorrow. You've already proven that you can win without Gordon Hayward. You can win without Kyrie Irving for 3 months out of the year, especially
Kyrie
in the Eastern Conference.
Kyrie Irving was a huge reason you were winning without Gordon Hayward.
You flip-flop him. I'm not saying that.
So you're saying at the beginning of next season you'll have Hayward back. Okay.
And it's not going to balance out completely. They're not going to be as good with Hayward as a substitute for Irving, because we don't even know if Marcus Smart's going to be back. But I think that you could afford to, in this conference, be without Kyrie Irving till January or February and still fight to win a championship come April and June.
So, again, we don't know exactly what the knee injury is, how long the recovery will be.
Yeah.
I think if he can play through the playoffs and then get the surgery and still be ready for the start of next year, I am fine with him waiting for the offseason. If he can be back opening night next year, then why would you sit him, right?
That's true.
So I'm fine with that. I still think he should be playing at the very most every other night from now till the playoffs. I'm fine with them waiting. That is an interesting point. If it's going to be a long-term thing, if it's going to be a nine-month recovery, yeah, absolutely get him the surgery. I would co-sign on that. What I want to see, this is a little more short-term, smaller picture. I want to see them start sitting Jason Tatum. I want to see Jason Tatum rest. He's never played more than, 33, 35 games in a season?
Yeah, 40-ish.
Right? And now in his rookie year, he's well over that number. You're going to need him in the playoffs. Why is he still playing every night? Why is he still playing 30 minutes a night? Sit him down. Sit Kyrie down. Al's a horse. For all the crap Al Horford gets in this town, I don't know if there's a more well-conditioned guy. I mean, the dude, he's a horse. He's a moose. I don't want to use moose because that's Greg Monroe with weird Celtics Twitter. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Max Letterman. Holy crap. We got to have him on to just explain what that is at some point. But, Al Horford, his conditioning, the way he takes care of his body, his ability to stay healthy is great. Let him win you some games here down the stretch. If he is as good as everybody says he is.
He's not.
Then he can win you games down the stretch. Let Tatum sit. Let Kyrie sit. Obviously, Jaylen Brown, give him as much time as he needs to recover from that concussion and then go full Voltron in the playoffs. They should not start more than one of those guys on the same night going forward.
Horford is not in the same category as Kyrie Irving. I don't think he's even in the same category as Tatum or Brown at this point.
But we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. If you look at their schedule down the stretch outside of two games against Toronto and Tuesday night against Oklahoma City, it's a very easy schedule.
Yeah.
And they only need to go, I think, 500 at most to get that two seed. I'm not saying that they need to win a bunch of games, but Horford will at least take care of business.
I think rest is the priority.
Rest has to be the priority at this point, yes.
I don't think Horford is a guy who's going to win you games, though. But if he's, if you're without Irving or Tatum on a night, I mean, that's going to be a loss for most nights.
Play them in the Toronto games. Play them against Oklahoma City Tuesday, because I think I'm going. outside of that, I don't really, let them sit, let them rest. I would rather this team be, because remember how much fun they were to watch? Not even just being competitive. How much fun they were to watch at the beginning of the year when they were fully healthy.
Oh, they're amazing.
Like, they're not even that entertaining at this point. I mean, there's the comedy factor of Gershon and Semi and Abdul Nader missing four free throws in a row. Right. Yeah. But I miss good Celtics basketball.
And this is what's going to happen. And I think another thing you have to point out is, injuries on this team, on the Celtics, it's been a little bit of a pattern. Maybe Brad Stevens, for as good as he is, there's some overworking involved.
And you are just bringing the fire today.
I'm just saying, you have, it's you got Marcus Smart out, and a lot of these are freak injuries. I get that. But when there's, five or six different injuries at the same time on a team, maybe there's something to that. And maybe there's not. I don't know. Doc Rivers worked the hell out of his players when he was the coach of the Celtics, and they didn't have nearly as many injuries. So maybe it's just
Tom Thibodeau was his assistant, and we know what Tom Thibodeau's history is.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau would play every one of his starters, every single minute of a game if he could.
I'll still take Brad Stevens, though, over what's going on in Cleveland.
Oh.
Monday morning, Tyronn Lue didn't resign, wasn't fired, he was stepping away for health reasons.
Air quotes.
Okay, look, maybe it's something serious and we don't know. And if it is, obviously, we want him to get better. And if stepping away from the game is what he needs, it's what he needs. And good for him for recognizing that. But just given the history in Cleveland, I can't help but wonder if Tyronn Lue's health problem is a 6'9", 260-pound headache that wears a headband sometimes.
That's from Akron, Ohio.
Advil's not getting rid of that headache.
And we're not talking about Abdul's Twitter handle.
No, we're not. As much as he would love to. As much as Abdul would love to get rid of LeBron James from the NBA so the Celtics could win. What a mess that team is. And they're gonna be in the finals again.
I mean, is the coach relevant to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Of course, he's their best player.
I see what you did there. No,
those jokes will never get old.
No, they won't. Because
they already are.
I, you know what? I don't know if it's legitimate or not. What I think is that Tyronn Lue is done coaching LeBron James.
I think he's done coaching.
He might not be back for, and that might not be on his own power. I think they might just let him go, unless it's like a John Farrell situation where, you know, he's sick and he can't fire a guy who's sick. It just reeks of you know, not legitimate.
The Cavs have been struggling the last couple games. They haven't been great the last couple
weeks.
It's
like how John Skipper stepped down from ESPN. Yeah. You had a cocaine problem, sure.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, again, if we want Tyronn Lue to get better, of course. We don't want to kick him in when he's down, but it's more just, okay, LeBron's gone through another coach.
The fact that it's not surprising is the story, though. It's like David Blatt's gone. LeBron's had multiple coaches. Eric Spoelstra and him never really saw eye to eye, I don't think.
Can you believe Spoelstra made it the whole 4 years?
That's crazy.
I thought there was no shot that clown, that puppet, made it through LeBron's entire tenure
It's really, that's the biggest upset in sports right there.
There you go. one more NBA piece of news over the weekend. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. Oh. Is Glenn Davis running a pot ring out of a Hampton Inn? There's a Mad Lib for you. First of all, the headline made it seem like he was moving meth. And then you read it, and it's like, oh, he's just dealing weed. Like, we're not surprised.
A few ounces. And,
here and there. You know, he's no Sam Hurd. But you don't know who Sam Hurd is.
I don't know.
The NFL player who got caught with like 100 pounds of weed and like 20 pounds of coke.
Oh, geez.
He was dealing. He was literally just making rosters because he was the NFL's dealer. Like, he was terrible.
He was the fall guy for every
exactly,
every roster,
exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, Glenn Davis, and then he releases the ridiculous video on, what was it, Twitter, Instagram? Eating Popeye's chicken with this briefcase with stacks of bills and his championship ring in it.
You know, I understand now how he's gained so much weight since retiring.
Yeah.
He's eating Popeye's chicken.
That wasn't as good as the video he released after the KG20 Area 21 reunion, smack-talking Rondo, when he was out of breath on the beach talking about he was in shape. God, the 2008 Celtics are just the gift that keeps on giving. You had Ray Allen's book, and that's a whole thing now.
Yeah, Rondo talk, and they just it's funny because it's Rondo. It's really Rondo and Big Baby, who are the two guys you look at, and you're like, yeah, those are the two guys who'd probably say something regrettable 10 years after the fact.
But that whole thing, it was Scalabrini's birthday this weekend, so a bunch of stuff came up from that.
Yep.
Boy, the 2008 Celtics, I miss them.
And just a little side note, Ray Allen does not deserve as much crap as he gets. I think Rondo is super petty for what he's saying about Ray Allen, and it's a detention grab, and I always fess up to my, like, just such hypocrisy. And just, Ray Allen left and he won a title. End of story. It paid off.
I think it's about more than just Ray Allen leaving the Celtics.
Well, I mean, part
of
the reason,
we don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Well, there were always problems between Rondo and Allen, even when they played together. So,
right.
Yeah.
I wonder, did they ever put that reunion together?
Probably not. No, I don't know.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that. And please, can somebody invite Scott Pollard this time? Remember him, please. Please, on the Scott Pollard note, before we wrap it up. So we are still going to be recording the shows on Mondays. Alex Lubitz will still be a part of the show, but they will, as you saw from the tweet this morning, we're now recording later in the day. These shows will be released later in the day, and that is because, sir?
I got a new job. Ding, ding, ding. Ding.
There we go.
That is
congratulations,
right.
All
right, bells and whistles, all that. I am now the co-host and producer for Merrimack Valley Radio in the mornings on 980 WCAP out of Lowell, Massachusetts. It's Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. We'll talk about sports a little bit. Not really much sports, though. It's a lot of political sports, political talk, not sports talk. It's,
what's the difference nowadays?
Yeah, honestly. But it's a lot of political talk, a lot of local stuff, but we touch a lot on a lot of national stuff. It's a lot of fun. My co-host Teddy Panos has been there for a while. He's kind of a local celebrity in Lowell. And he's also originally a sports guy, but it's a great opportunity. It's a lot of fun, and it gives me the flexibility to still do this podcast, which is one of the best parts of it.
So a lot of Lowell talk on this show.
Yes.
Again, that's 6 to 10 on WCAP. Now that we're recording the show later on Mondays, I got to say, I may catch the last hour. I probably will not listen to it. You all should. Monday's the one day of the week now I get to sleep in, now that we're doing this later. So I am very happy for you for more than one reason. But, of course, congratulations. And, you know, I'm glad you're still with the show. We'll save the mushy stuff for the 1 year, but glad you're sticking with it, and I'm glad I brought you on. It's been great, and this is very well deserved, much deserved for you. I know you've been busting your ass up there, you've been busting your ass here, so congratulations.
Thank you, and this podcast has been one of the reasons that I got the opportunity, and I've gotten a lot of opportunities, so thank you, and thanks to the listeners of this podcast and CLNS and everything everyone else has done. It's a lot of fun, and it's good to actually have a daily radio gig and do what I love doing. So
and if they want to follow you for more information?
At Alex_Lubowitz. Also follow the station at 980 WCAP. Check out the website. We post a lot of stuff on there. It's a great station. It's a local station. It's not big market like Boston. It's not super small, but it's small enough where you should support it, because smaller market radio is not doing as well as it has in the past. So listen to it. Support it.
So let's make a list of things we can't talk smack about on the show. The America East.
The America East.
And 980 WCAP.
Never 980.
So far. Yes. We'll add to the list. All right. That will do it for us this week. We'll be back next week, I believe. Let me pull up the calendar real quick, because does my brain deceive me? Next week will be our MLB preview. We do the show on Monday. Red Sox get underway on Thursday. So
there we go. It's also Robin Lubowitz's birthday. I won't say how to my mom.
All right, there you go. There you go. All right.
I'll throw that out.
All
there.
Kinds of birthdays around. So, bitch.
And it's your birthday tomorrow.
It is my birthday tomorrow.
So, happy birthday,
Thank you
Alex
very
Ford.
Much. Thank you very much. I will be at the Celtics game enjoying that. So, for all the birthdays, big show next week. A lot of baseball next week. Make sure you tune in for that. If you want to catch any of our old stuff on Twitter, at Callin' It Podcast, make sure to follow CLNS at CLNS Media and check them out online at clnsmedia.com. So, for Alex Lubowitz of 980 WCAP, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks to Jim Murray for joining us earlier. This has been the Callin' It Podcast, powered by CLNS. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.